Anthony and Cleopatra, we're getting close to the end here. This is about possible exile. Now, I know when you watch the movies, you see all the Cleopatra movies, it's like, oh, they're going to commit suicide down here. There's no real discussion about them running away. But there's a significant attempt to do that. Now, again, once back in Egypt, Cleopatra began thinking of escaping Egypt to possibly another kingdom in the east. Say, you know, any place where her wealth would let her found a new Oriental kingdom. Other Hellenistic rulers had done that before. People will sell you a country, let you take it over. She even thought about Spain, which is kind of unusual. But that's way in the area that Octavian would have been in control of, so that's not quite as far out. By sending Caesarion to India, pretty much showed that Cleopatra was thinking about going that direction as well. So, some of the things that she dealt with, she worked with the king of Media. Now remember, the king of Media's daughter was betrothed to her son, Alexander Helios. Now, Media was concerned about a Parthian attack, so Cleo offered a demonstration of goodwill. She simply executed her prisoner, the king of Armenia, whom the Median king simply despised. Cleo probably at this time then sent Alexander Helios to Media as well. Cleopatra thought her best escape route was using the Red Sea. Because remember, she's got a lot of treasure. She's going to need ships. You're not going to be able to put all this treasure on camels. So she had several of her ships moved from the Nile to the Red Sea. Well, you can't go down the Nile Delta into the Mediterranean and then into the Red Sea. We have the Suez Canal now, but that doesn't exist at this time. So what they did was they moved the ships from Hierapolis, which was on an inlet from the Gulf of Suez, and then moved them overland. Now, this amazing feat, which would have been a 20-mile move of large ships overland, there are no details of it. There's the discussion that they were probably put on wheeled carriages of some sort and then pulled across. We do know that once the ships arrived at the Red Sea, they were put in the water, and then there were other ships that were being constructed, but a catastrophe struck. King Malchus of the Nabatean kingdom attacked and burned them. Now, this is kind of a backstab deal here, because Cleopatra, not a year before, had intervened to save King Malchus from King Herod. And here the Nabataeans come out and fry her ships to a crisp, which pretty much guarantees she's not going to be able to flee Egypt with all of her treasure. However, you know how Cleopatra is. She will get some sort of revenge, and her revenge was having King Malchus murdered. But the loss of the ships made her give up the idea of leaving Egypt. Actually, the idea to burn Cleopatra's ships came from the Roman governor of Syria, Cilicia, Quintus Didius. Unfortunately for King Malchus, Didius' offer of protection obviously failed. You know, it's to Didius, because, you know, if you destroy those ships, I can protect you. Don't worry about it. Well, didn't work. The Roman witness protection program was a failure at this particular point. Now it was time for the Eastern princes to line up and switch sides. It's one thing that you've noticed being in charge of the East. You're really not in charge of the East. These people just give you lip service as long as you're on top, and then when you're down, they switch sides. Not a loyal group. Which is one of the reasons why Anthony needed to recruit most of his army from Italy. He needed people who would stay with him. These Eastern goobers, they're here and gone. In 30 BC, Octavian was back at Samos. and then he headed east. He reached Syria? Yeah, Syria switches sides. Governor Didius even intercepted a group of gladiators that were on their way to help Antony. That's kind of an interesting point. Every so often you'll see this, where all the gladiators against legionnaires. Well, one-on-one, they're a pretty good selection, but the gladiators don't fight as a unit, whereas the legion does. King Herod then, of course, switches. He actually met Octavian as Octavian moved to Rhodes. Octavian believed that a dependent kingdom in Judea under Roman control was useful. And Herod was the best man to run it. Okay? I mean, we always talk about, the Romans in Judea. But it's a Judean kingdom run by a Judean king. But they're dependent upon Roman influence and money. But the Romans didn't actually run the province of Judea. Now, Cleopatra, of course, hated Herod, was really angered by his defection. As a matter of fact, Plutarch talks about how she screams out that she'd wished she had slaughtered the Jews with her own hands. Well, her comment's taken completely out of context. It's really aimed at Herod and his advisors, not the Jewish people of his kingdom. It was more like, I should have slaughtered that Jew and those advisors, you know. It's funny, this little hatred thing between Herod and Cleopatra. In the summer of 30 BC, Octavian landed in Phoenicia. Octavian now received 3 envoys from Cleopatra. One brought Cleopatra's royal insignia, which she placed at Octavian's disposal. The envoy said that Cleo was prepared to abdicate, but asked that her children be allowed to inherit Egypt. Octavian kept the insignia and made no real reply. The second envoy was sent by Antony, and it was his son, Antyllus. He brought a large amount of money and said his father was willing to retire to private life. And an arrangement was made to turn over Decimus Trullius, who was the last surviving assassin of Julius Caesar. And this is someone that Octavian had sworn revenge on. Well, Octavian accepted the money and accepted Decimus, who was promptly killed, but no reply on the retirement. The third was sent by Cleopatra. This is Ephronius, her children's tutor. This came with a larger bribe, and this was just to let her and children inherit Egypt. Octavian kept the money, but said nothing. You know, he's got all the chips on the table. He's getting ready to win. Just keep bringing the money in. Now, Octavian's ships were on Egypt's seacoast, and the Octavian army was approaching from the east with, of course, King Herod's help. Octavian in person captured Pelusium in the Nile Delta. The defeated commander, Seleucus, had his wife and children put to death. As Octavian got closer, Cleo gave up diplomatic attempts and concentrated on keeping and protecting her treasure. She picked a mausoleum she had constructed for herself in the royal cemetery of the Ptolemies, which was right beside the tomb of Alexander the Great. All of this worried Octavian because he was afraid that Cleopatra might set fire to all the wealth in a fit of despair, and he was counting on all that money. So, Cleo's not on his mind, but boy, that money sure is. Sources for this: Michael Grant's Cleopatra biography, Plutarch's Lives, and a variety of other sources. So I hope you enjoyed that.